Okay. Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. I am Al Whitney. We're back to the topic of vaccinations. We opened the show with a little bit of discussion on the World Mercury Project of Robert Kennedy Jr. If you missed that, I basically think he's doing some good work exposing some of what's going on behind the scene. He does not have a solution, nor is he truly admitting what the government structure is. He doesn't seem to be aware that most attorneys are not. But I'm talking about using the vaccine notice, okay, to inform the physician, the hospital, the school, the employer, that you will comply with their vaccination request if they will agree to take the liability. And I mentioned the reason I got that. I saw the letter that was sent to the pediatrician. Somebody put it up on the internet, introducing them to this refusal to vaccinate form, telling the pediatricians, if you have a patient, a parent who will not vaccinate their child, you must get them to sign this form, because if they don't sign the form and the child gets this dread disease, the parent could sue the doctor. Now, I think this is a joke, but that's what they told them. They told them if they don't sign the form and the child gets the disease, the parent could sue the doctor and the doctor could be held liable for whatever bad outcome occurred. Now, I paid close attention to that because, as you know, I've been looking closely at everyday law, all of these things that are coming into our world almost on a daily basis and what they all mean. So when I saw that, and the fact that I'm married to a physician, I said, oh my gosh, they've got these doctors afraid that if they don't get that child vaccinated, in addition to the fact they're bribing them with huge amounts of reimbursement money, they've got them thinking that they could be sued. Now, people think that's a long stretch, but guess what? I just heard it confirmed this past week. My husband's on CPAP. So we went to a physician, he'd had the sleep study, and he was upset because he can't adjust the pressure on the CPAP. He feels that he could adjust it to what is comfortable himself, but the machine locks him out. Okay, if you're on CPAP, you realize that the individual who's using CPAP has no control over the pressure that is set by those servicing the equipment, and the doctor determines, he writes a prescription, what that pressure should be. So I'm listening as my husband's arguing that he believes he should have the right to set his own CPAP pressure based on how he feels. And this doctor is defending his position, and it was classic what he had to say. Here's what he had to say. The standards of care, are you listening to this? Because this is how the game is played. The standards of care that I must follow. If I don't follow the standards of care, I could be sued. You could die and you could sue me. The standards of care say that I set the pressure and you aren't allowed to mess with it because you could do something wrong and die. And if you did something wrong and died, then you could sue me. It's the same story, folks. That's how they're doing it. That's how they're creating this medical tyranny. They've got the doctors convinced if they don't enforce these standards of care and the vaccines, incidentally, the vaccine schedule is a standard of care. If they don't enforce those, they feel they could be at risk of being sued. This doctor said this to my husband three different times, and I was just shaking my head saying, well, there it is. There it is. The lawyers have the doctors convinced. So do the professional organizations. If you don't follow standards of care, you're going to be vulnerable for a lawsuit. That's why they cram them down our throat. That's why they don't listen to us. That's why we get very little choice in the medical care we receive anymore, because they're all following standards of care. And they're afraid not to. This is why we came up with the patient's declaration of patient's rights, to alleviate that problem. And I will look that up on my computer and read it to you. We have to get these guys off the hook or they won't bend an inch. They are terrified of being sued. And they see you as you question what they're ordering, what kind of treatment they're ordering, what kind of medication, what kind of tests. They have pitted them against us. They see us as a legal liability. If we don't do what they say, they see us as a legal liability. That's the tragic situation that's ongoing. I saw it with cardiologists. I saw it with nephrologists. Now I saw it with a sleep specialist. Same scenario, and everybody's reporting the same scenario with the pediatricians. This is why with the pediatricians, the vaccination notice is so important because it takes him out of the liability as well. You are telling him, I will do this. I have reasons I don't want vaccines, but if you will take the liability, I will do it. And he no longer can say you're refusing. Now he's stuck with saying, I don't want the liability. He can use that notice, that legal notice that you gave him, should anyone criticize him for not convincing you to vaccinate. That legal notice where you made a formal choice in writing and put it in your medical record, he can use that to protect himself and to feel as if he's vindicated. He's done what he wanted to do. He's done what he could. And you have notified him that unless somebody solves the liability problem, you're not willing to take the risk. The people I work with, and there are many, we don't see another way out of this dilemma, okay, unless you walk away from all of the doctors completely. And not too many people are willing to do that. And a lot of people are afraid if they get a sudden illness or an injury, they won't be able to do that even if they wanted to. So that's where this is at, people. That is where this is at. These lawyers have jumped in and written all these documents that we're being asked to sign, this refusal to vaccinate form signed by a lawyer. The notice to doctors that they could be sued came up by lawyers. Lawyers crafted that. Lawyers wrote it. This whole thing is being held in place by a bunch of lawyers. And that's unfortunately what Robert Kennedy Jr. is. Okay, let's hear from Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, what do you think of this nightmare?
Can you hear me? Ooh, can
yes.
you hear me now?
I can.
I had to get through the time warp. I wanted to give your chat room, because I have several links in there, and then I'll tell you about them. But indefenseofhumanity.chatango.com, and I'll email you if you'd like some of the links. But I had to crack up just now, the absurdity of it all, this hidden tyranny that's run on this insane money and lawyers and fear,
yes.
fear, and more fear.
Right.
But I cracked up because you said, if you die, you might sue him. I'm like, you see, how absurd is that? If you die, you might sue him?
Good luck with that. They're terrified.
I know, but I said, like you said, if you die, you might sue them. How is that even possible?
Well, he would have, of course, he was assuming that the wife would do the suing, and I was sitting there just
Everybody's wagging fear at each other over this, and it's all due to this hidden tyranny. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if this rug got pulled out from under all these vampires? And it looks like that might even be what's underway. But I wanted to tell you, I have Catherine Austin Fitz links, including the Rentz interview. Would you like that emailed to you?
No, I have it. I mean, I could find it in my history. I just didn't post it. But yeah, you can, if it's in that, yes. And I can put it on mine because I found it in my history.
But the Soleri graphic is great. You know, they go through all these graphics. And if you look, it's a cow being milked, but the cow, the black and white heifer, has the world map on it. And
yes.
where all the milk is being drained out because there's a hole in the bucket. And
yep.
she made the calm point, though. I mean, the absurdity of this money business, it's such baloney. She said, if they come up with finding 21 trillion missing, and they're not even anywhere near finding all that's missing. So what's the big deal about 5 trillion missing in the pensions? Why should we feel guilty for not saving? If 21 trillion is nothing, why would 5 trillion be something?
Yeah. Well,
and like you said, about the student loans, they found they could do better by ruining people. So
right.
That's what they're doing.
Yes.
And see, that's what's with this hidden tyranny. Okay?
Right.
Rosenthal told Walter White, right? I mean, all insurance, all forms of insurance they control, along with the Federal Reserve, right?
Right.
And they've converted everyone to what they do, what Jews do, is getting, you know, and you're never satisfied. Happiness has to come from within or not at all, and it's just nonsense living this way. So anyway, I'll give you the third thing I have here first before I go to Mike Parsons. Wayne Jett, and he was just interviewed today by Sarah Westall, and like I said, it looks like, it very well looks like this, not just this country, but globally. See, you kind of remember, Trump is not dumb, and he will get even. And he's been working on being president for 30 years, okay? You know he's being a businessman, and they owning the banks, you know he's been screwed over many times. And in his Christian platform thing, he said, I like playing with debt. So, you know, he's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of them, which everyone else is, you know. And
well,
he's,
the problem is when he brought Goldman Sachs into his cabinet, that was when I was done with him. Goldman Sachs into his cabinet.
Listen, Al. How could he not? I mean, everything is just filled with all these people. He has to work it out slowly, and he has a plan. Like now, we all say that, you know, his closing speech, how that was the one good thing he did. Well, that was baloney, too. I'll put that link in here, too. But that was a communist bunch of rhetoric. It's not the military-industrial complex we have to fear. What if good military binded with the good businessmen against the politicians and the banks? That's what he was really afraid of, and it would go against the New World Order. So
okay.
I think that's what we're seeing.
Okay, well, we'll see if you're right. Time will tell. Okay, thanks, Murr. I appreciate it. Before I take the next caller, I wanted to read this one quote that's so frequently used, written by Dr. Marcia Angell, A-N-G-E-L-L. And Marcia Angell spent decades as the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, remember, I am talking about guidelines, right? And I am saying they're all given these guidelines. And here's what she had to say in her book, which was in 2005. I mean, I wasn't even aware of who she was back in 2005. The name of her book is The Truth About the Drug Companies. And this is what she said, quote, "It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reach slowly and reluctantly over my 2 decades as an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine." And that's what my husband and I have been observing. These guidelines, when that doctor said to him, "I have to follow guidelines," I couldn't help myself. He probably saw me roll my eyes. And out of my mouth, I said, "Oh, my God, the guidelines." He just looked at me like I was speaking French. But I'm thinking, oh, there it is. The guidelines, that's how they're doing it. They get these people. It's a top-down system. Coming from these professional organizations, the guys who are making guidelines for pediatrics, the guys who are making guidelines for cardiology, the guys at the table making guidelines for nephrology, they bring these guidelines forward. And as long as the money monsters control the people at the top, This is how it works. We all know that's how it works. They feed these guidelines to all these practicing physicians, and then they scare them and say, if you don't follow the guidelines, you could either be sued or lose your license. This is why they're enforcing this upon us. This is why we have to be proactive to overcome that. And the strategies I'm talking about can relieve their fear of being sued, because we are making a stand on the record, okay? And before the show's over, I'll read you the Declaration of Patients' Rights that we used with these physicians to get them off the hook. No other way, because the guidelines are controlling everything they do, even if the guidelines kill you. Sorry, but that's the way it is. Okay, Roxanne in Texas, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm sorry I missed the first 30 minutes because I was getting my apron over at the Scottish Rite Mason Hall. But oh, okay. Anyway, you mentioned early about a little bit of Parkland sort of situation. Do you know who Cameron Caskey is?
You have to say that. I mentioned early on. What did I mention early on?
Well, about the Parkland kind of, you know, all of the, you know, it's the bundle of lies. It's not just one lie. It's going to be drugs, medicine, politics, religion,
okay,
whatever.
Okay, I thought you said Parkland, and I didn't know what that is.
Parkland, Florida shooting.
Oh, I didn't talk about
that. I think you briefly mentioned it.
No, not tonight. If I did, I didn't know.
Oh, okay, because you had mentioned, I think adoption is where I came in with that.
Okay, well, that was about the Supreme Court letter from the people in Ohio, the Supreme Court justice in Ohio.
Well, I just want to tie it into the Parkland deal, because this Cameron Caskey, he's a big mouth, and his family is One World Adoption. Okay, so he's a big mouth about gun control, and then you got that other big mouth, Delaney Tarr. She's going to graduate this year at the University of Florida. And it's just whether it's politics, money, drugs, food, shootings, it's all written for the guidelines, as you mentioned, in the pyramid walls. I mean, there's nothing new. And I've called, and I've tried to work with politicians since the 80s, and yeah, they don't listen. They hang up mostly.
Yeah, they don't listen. That's true.
I know. We got to run from the cure. Let's get to the other callers.
They've got their own agenda. They don't, I mean, I can't work with them either. I mean, they just, you know, they barely tolerate you even talking to them.
Well, when I was trying to help Chris and Lacavora and all those people, I'd call judges and sheriffs, and then they said, I get calls back the next day saying, you're threatening people. I said, no, this guy's innocent.
And they accuse you.
And you can't mention law to them because, ooh, you know, I was getting threatening calls. I said, sir, I don't know what you're talking about. I was drunk. That's what my excuse was.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you have to reach the point where you have to extricate yourself, huh?
It's terrible because they don't listen. They don't listen. And have a wonderful night.
Okay, we're going to break. Be back shortly.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back. Is Murr still on the line? Okay. We're talking to Roxanne. Is Roxanne still on the line? Okay, Roxanne. I'm sorry. I lost track. Was there anything you wanted to add? Oh, Roxanne's going to. Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay, Ken, are you there? Good evening, Ken. Okay. Good evening, Brad.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm here. Okay. I appreciate what you're saying. It really bugs me when people are like saying that Trump is, you know, playing 4D chess. It's just insane. It's like you're saying about the political solution. It's not there. These people are power hungry, and that's what attracts them. That's what these positions do. They attract these, you know, these sociopaths. And so, you know, Trump is he's one of them. He's not scared of them because he's one of them. You know, it's just, I don't know. I can't take it anymore. So I just had to say something.
Okay. Well, here's the thing about all the agencies, and I've said this a million times, you're not going to appeal to the agencies to be other than what they are. We don't vote for them. They don't answer to us. Okay? People have to get this.
Yes.
They do not represent you. It's not an accident that they put Monsanto people in high positions at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's not an accident that they put mm-hmm. people with vaccine awareness as head of the Centers for Disease Control. It's not an accident mm-hmm. big pharma people end up in charge of the FDA. At some point, I really get tired of all these nonprofits saying, well, we've got to clean them up. No, you're not going to clean them up. You have no influence over them. They don't represent you. You don't get them hired. You don't get them fired. They may claim that they represent the public. We have no recourse. If they represent the public, then we would have...
This is called fascism, right? This is the merging of the corporate and state powers.
Exactly.
That's the definition of fascism. That's what we live under. We live under full-blown fascism, not communism. I mean, they're all fascists. Trump, Obama, Bush.
Okay, but here's what I'd like people to take away, this really important difference. You've got Idi Amin Dada out there. That's what you think of a total fascist dictator. I mean, he didn't care if you voted or not. He didn't care what you signed. You know, he came to your house with a club, and that was it. We have a corporate structure. We have a contractual corporate structure, okay? This contractual corporate structure requires our signature.
The consent.
Yes, and I've been trying to tell people.
Right, that's much more.
You sign up for it, and then you get it. And if you could just look at what it is you're signing and start to understand that we're giving them the authority to do what they're doing because we don't understand how the game is played. Are you there? Oh, how'd we lose him? Okay. That's what I'm trying to get everybody to understand. He's right, it's fascism, but it's a different type of fascism. It's corporatism, and corporations function under contract law. The whole thing is about contract law. I'm going to read just a short excerpt from Melvin Stamper's book, and this is so important to understand how the system works. He wrote on page 62, again from Melvin Stamper's Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, in the 1950s, the Uniform Commercial Code was adopted in most of the states as a means of unifying the generally accepted procedures for handling the new legal system of dealing with commercial fictions as though they were real. That's your all caps name, the commercial fiction. All this was accomplished by the mid-1960s. The Commercial Code is merely a codification of accepted and required procedures which all people engaged in commercial activity must follow. The country is now running under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. Presumption became a major element of law. That's how we're consenting, because we're not rebutting the presumption. The entrenched powers that engineered the scheme for the people to register their property and person with the United States and its instrumentalities, which would be the states, gained control of the people's property and right to property through registration and licensing. The corporation government shows only ownership of paper, titles to things. They own the baby's birth certificate. The substance, the baby, cannot appear in the fiction. Sometimes the fiction is manufactured to appear as the substance, but fiction can never become substance. It's an illusion. This is why the proper spelling of your name in upper and lower case is never used in court documents. The all caps spelling represents the legal fiction which the government holds title to and jurisdiction over, as it is the creation of the government. We have to be really clear. The government didn't create the baby. Mom and Dad created the baby. The government created the all caps name, the fiction, the form. That's what we have to separate from. That's what we have to understand. And on anticorruptionsociety.com. I believe we tried to do a pretty good job of explaining that. Look at the top. There is one item called Notice of Condition Precedent. Notice of Condition Precedent. And that is you. That is your effort to separate from that legal fiction and recover control over your living flesh and blood self and children. Okay. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Okay, Ken is back. Ken, how'd we lose you? Are we on break?
Well.com.
Hi, Al.
Oh, hello?
Okay. I have two people here. Let's start with Ken. Can we start with Ken first? Ken, are you back? Did you want to finish?
Yes, okay. I'm here.
Okay.
There's an article from January of 2017. It's verywell.com. And it goes to doctors that reject patients. And there's something here. I'm sorry. You said something?
Go ahead.
Okay. It says, rumors of secret codes posted to a patient's chart by providers signifying that the patient difficult turn out to be true. There may be a notation in the paper's record as to something simple as PETA, which means pain in the backside, or GOMER, get out of my emergency room. One former healthcare worker reported that her office used a real ICD code in patients' records, 569.42, indicating anal or rectal pain, i.e. like a pain in the rear end.
Oh my God. Now,
you know, if this is true, I don't know how difficult it is to get a medical record these days, because I haven't tried. You would think that they should be able to dump it out on a CD or a key drive for you.
But it's easy.
If that were true, go ahead.
It's easy. I mean, we got the medical record for my family.
Oh, you can? Okay. I haven't tried it yet. Well, what I'm getting at is that if it turns out that you're being blackballed, because that's another part of this article speaks that some patients complain that they can't find a doctor to care for them at all, even reporting they had appointments canceled while waiting to see a doctor. And it says, report in the New York Times corroborates this phenomenon. Now, if that's true and you're able to find it, you can sue them. They're tampering with medical records. I'm sure that's a felony somewhere.
It might be. It might be.
And you also would be responsible that if you spotted something or you knew about it, you should do something to correct it or tell somebody about it. So that's okay. How you could get back at them.
Well, let me read this to people because I mentioned it earlier in the show. We talked about this earlier in the year, maybe the end of last year. Okay, and this is the document that we need to have ready and be prepared to present to whoever we're seeing, hospital, doctor. It's called the Declaration of Patients' Rights. It's real easy, and it can nullify this nightmare that we're dealing with. And this is what it says. Please insert the following statement into my medical record. As the patient in our doctor-patient relationship, I am entitled to the right of informed consent to make an informed decision regarding the test, treatment, or medication I receive. I need to know both the benefits and the risks. This would include the side effects or adverse reaction of any medication, including vaccines, that you might prescribe. I also reserve the right to seek a second opinion. My refusal of any test, treatment, or medication should not be charted as me being non-compliant, but as me deciding the benefits don't personally outweigh the risks to me. Note, you can use this declaration to defend against any accusation of failure to adhere to the current, quote, standard of care, unquote, should I refuse any procedure or treatment considered, quote, standard of care, unquote, which many physicians have concluded are not always in the best interest for all patients. For your protection, keep a copy of this declaration in your personal office files. So what we're doing there is we're exercising our right of informed dissent.
I'll take two of those. I think that's a good idea. It makes a lot of sense. And also, another thing I found out about the new medical records, I was talking to a PA the last time. My doctor wasn't available. This is an endocrinologist for diabetes. And she was chatting with me. She goes, well, how do you feel when this happens and that if you go low? And so I'm chatting there, and I thought it was like a friendly. And I noticed she was typing quite a bit. And I said, what are you doing? And I said, she goes, I'm putting a medical record. I said, oh, okay. I said, you know, if there's anything that's wrong or can challenge, can we change it? And she said, no. And I said, oh, I think we're going to stop the conversation here. We're going to roll it back a little bit. I said, we're having a conversation, and you're sitting there typing it all into a medical record, and we can't edit it? I said, this is crazy.
What did she say?
She didn't say anything, actually. She just thought, well, okay, you know, something like that. She was inexperienced. I mentioned the standard of care to her, and she didn't know what it was.
Well, she may call
it. I've heard about it, but I've never had. I'm sorry, guys.
She may consider, and some people refer to it as the guidelines.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Okay, I'm more familiar with that term.
Right.
But that's something else to be concerned about. I'm trying to find out, well, if you find something wrong, I guess the only thing you do is maybe like it's your credit record, you can put 100 words in and dispute it, but you can't erase anything or edit anything. That's pretty scary, that by itself.
Well, you could probably, I haven't investigated that, and I may have to. You could probably, I don't think they can deny an affidavit. You can probably have an affidavit put in your chart. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, then you really have to be not emotional, very careful, and make nothing but facts. That's all facts. And in the guide, Lawfully Yours, which is on the website, and if you go to Anti-Corruption Society, you'll see a little tab for Lawfully Yours. We do have an example of affidavit. An affidavit stands as truth in commerce. So if you look at that, it will say how you can use it. It's very specific. You have to use facts, and you'd have
to think. This is geared for a medical environment, this particular affidavit.
An affidavit could be done for anything.
I understand that, but okay.
So if you
I get it then.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it and start to think to yourself, well, how could I use this in a way that could benefit me? And think long and hard before you implement it, because once you put it out there, you can't take it back, right?
Right. Well, that's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, I'm always really cautious before I put it out there. I mean, I usually think about it a long time, do a lot of research, because I know darn well I put it out there, I can't take it back. But I don't feel I would ever want to take back that Declaration of Patients' Rights. That's not... To me, that's just basic, me saying I have a right. And the one we have that we make available to everybody, on the back side is a copy of the government website that defines our patients' rights of informed consent.
Mm-hmm.
So we put that on the one side to remind the doctors this is our legal right.
Mm. Put a reference to it. You don't have to put the entire verbiage into the...
What I did is I downloaded the whole thing and put it on a page.
Oh, okay.
So it's one page. Yes, and it's a copy of theirs. It's their work. Then when you flip it over, you see your Declaration of Patients' Rights. So you're standing behind their work. They've granted you this right, and we are going to take it.
So if that's the case, then they should be real careful about blackballing you or blacklisting you, as they call it here, because
yes.
This could very well lead them into a suit.
Yes, because that you've been granted the right to of informed consent, and that's inferred that informed dissent goes right along with it.
And it says they can refuse you service except in a case of an emergency. But they said that they can't violate any laws. There's so many federal laws that are controlling medical health care that they can pretty much do what they want as long as they're not violating a law. That's what it says in this article, which it makes sense.
They do have continuity of care, though. I did read one today and I have to look at my desk to see I did save it, where if you've been seeing a pediatrician and all of a sudden he says, well, I'm not going to see you anymore, in theory, he can't do that until you find another pediatrian. Mm. Now, if you're a new that's different. But if you've been seeing him, he has to tell you, this relationship isn't working, I'm going to ask that you find someone else. He cannot dump you midstream and leave you without medical care. That is against the medical board standards.
Well, strangely enough, I've never had a problem with my doctor himself. I've been with him for 17 years, and we sit and chat and joke and smile and whatever, and he doesn't sit there and put this stuff in the medical record. This was the PA who's obviously, you know, she's just doing, she's trying to, you know, make her way. But they're going to tend to be more strict or try to follow their rules rather than run the risk of, you know, getting canned or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Good.
Interesting points. Thanks,
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Did we have a female voice that I heard, Ken?
Yes, you have me again.
Okay. Is this Mark?
Yeah. What I wanted to tell you was about our friend Mike Parsons.
I don't even know Mike Parsons. Do I?
Mike Parsons in Tennessee that was using your work. He filed a condition precedent January 26, 2017. But they've been, you know what they've been doing with him. He was just moved to a federal facility in Leavenworth 2 days ago. I put the video that describes his information in an email to you just now, and it's but that's what I wanted to tell you before we hung up I thought that was important. You don't remember Mike Parsons?
Well, I haven't thought about him in a long time. Now, I do remember him now. Now, Mike Parsons,
yeah.
And this is where people will run into difficulty when they contact me and they're already, you know, up to their ankles in alligators, okay? I have to find out what they've already signed. And unfortunately, by the time I know that there's some problem that people are having, they're not even sure they remember all they've signed. I don't have a copy of everything they signed.
Right.
That's the problem. And if they're trying 5 or 6 different methodologies, they've got their name, their signature all over the place. That makes it very difficult. I'm sorry to say, folks, it makes it very difficult to jump in and untangle that web. It's almost impossible.
All I wanted to do was leave information so we can get in touch with him on a person-to-person level. I think he needs our support in just that way. That's all I meant. Because you have to have all the numbers and the names spelled right and everything, you know. I mean, dealing with Tom LaCavera and Chris Cave and the Ammons and the Hammonds and the, you know. So we've got to bolster their courage. It's good for all of us.
Unfortunately, once they come under their jurisdiction, once they come under, that's why the Judge Dale thing in Lawful Ears makes it so clear that there is no justice for us in their courts. None.
Oh, exactly. Same thing with the health care. Run as far as you can. Take care of yourself. Be your own doctor. Like Dr. Jennifer Daniels was saying when someone was asking her about an elderly parent was like in her 90s, and she didn't want to go. And so Jennifer told her, well, just, 3 days before the appointment, call up and cancel, and keep doing that enough and they'll drop you. I mean, do the same thing with your children. Why should they have to be tortured for standard of care? I mean, we're losing heart here. We're letting them win with their hard hearts and their egos and their money, and it's nonsense. Sure, we're all tangled up in it, but we still have to come together on a heart-to-heart basis, and that's what I was saying about Mike in particular. And I also, earlier when we were talking about him, I put, baby eaters are especially brutal when they know you know and confront them. This is what we're up against, baby eaters.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, satanic.
Thanks, Mayor. Okay. I wanted to mention again that what we're dealing with, even more so today than I've ever seen it before, and I think the listeners know that I worked in this system for many years. I participated. I actually took my body in there and let them do whatever. Thank God I survived. One of the reasons I survived is they would put me on medication, and I would decide, well, this isn't working, and I would quit, and I'd just dump it. You don't put me on any medication. If it doesn't do anything in a week or two, then I'm done. I quit. But what really has me unhappy and very leery as to how we're going to deal with this, and I'm just going to use two examples. One is the whole CPAP thing. Once you observe and you're really concerned that there may be a sleep disorder, sleep apnea, you find a place to go and you go into that clinic. The doctor will see you and they'll talk to you and they'll have you fill out this little questionnaire. Then they'll schedule you for a sleep study. Okay, and you already probably are aware that they have machines that do CPAP. What we didn't know when we went to the first place is that when they get done and they decide that you need this kind of a setting of pressure at night, they've got a machine they think that will work nicely for you. They want you to buy the machine from them, buy the equipment from them. Then, because of Medicare, they want you, the machine has a ability to transmit to their center, their sleep center, what is happening to you every night. Okay. The first appointment, when you saw the physician, you had no idea that it was this invasive. None. Completely no transparency. Now they've diagnosed you. They've got you worried. You've got sleep apnea. And you say, well, I don't want a machine that transmits. Well, you don't have a choice. I'd like to be able to change the pressure myself. You can't. How can I get equipment somewhere else? Well, they don't want you to do that. See, it's a racket. So you go into the sleep center and they want to sell you the equipment. They want to sell you the masks, the tubings, and then they want to be able to monitor you remotely on that piece of equipment. Now, that's what I call lack of transparency. You were already in this. You've already been billed for these not cheap sleep studies, and now you find out the details. This is happening all over the place, and this really, I think, is disconcerting, the lack of transparency. The second time I ran into it was our family member. They claimed that he needed a pacemaker. He was supposed to have it on a Friday, but they had an emergency, so they worked him in on Saturday. There was no discussion with the family what this all meant, what this was all about. None. The family was told he needed a pacemaker. That was that. Now the pacemaker is in. Now comes the details. And the details is that this pacemaker transmits information back to them. They expect you to transmit information back to them at least once a week. You aren't told this when you agreed to the pacemaker. You aren't given any models to pick. You are told this is the model we use, this is what it does, and this is what your obligation is to us. Then you find out that if you transmit once a week as they request, they don't want to see you for a full year, no matter how sick you were. Okay? If you were released from the hospital with that machine, they don't want to see you for a year. They've got you on medications. They still don't want to see you for a year. They want this information transmitted directly once a week to them. Then every 3 months, they're allowed to charge Medicare for reading it. Not seeing you for reading it. That's how this whole system got set up. So every 3 months they get to charge for reading the machine, and they don't see you for a year. Now, this is not transparency. Our family was really upset. We had no idea that by merely allowing them to insert this pacemaker, that they were absolutely putting him into their system electronically. There was no transparency, there was no consent, there was no discussion, no conversation, and this is, I think, what I'm seeing that's disturbing me a great deal, is people innocently walk in, and all of a sudden, they find out they're up to their neck in some system they don't even understand. Well, I think we're running out of time. Thanks, folks, for calling in. I enjoyed talking to everybody tonight. Please stay tuned for our evening, Saturday evening prayer. Please take the time to listen to the beautiful music and image the world that we want, the world we know our children deserve. And please don't sign anything unless you read it and understand it. We'll be back next week.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. We'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord, and image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together. Thank you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.